Please listen once again to the gospel reading for tonight from the Gospel of St. Matthew in the 26th chapter. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." This is God's word. Oklahoma in the spring is a place that is just fraught with danger, a place where a menacing trinity of weather and air masses collide annually. So it's warm, moist air blowing up from the Gulf of Mexico, cool, dry air coming down from the central plains, and then from the west, warm, dry air begins to build in. And when these three air masses meet, they produce a predictable pattern of wildly wicked weather. Make sure your homeowner's insurance is paid up and take cover. Get to the basement, have 911 on your speed dial. It's going to be a rough ride. Have some of you lived through a tornado? I think all of us, anyway, have lived through severe storms. The sky grows dark, the winds begin to blow, sirens start blaring, rain comes down in torrents. Road signs shimmy in the wind, and electric lines shake, and the lightnings flash, and the thunders roar, and the power goes out, and there you are in a bad place. A very bad place. So, Lent begins today, and we begin a worship series titled The Places of the Passion. And using Matthew's gospel, we're going to walk with Jesus to places like Bethany and the home of Simon the leper, and Mount of Olives and Gethsemane and Pilate's judgment hall and the hill of Golgotha, places of the Passion. And tonight we start with Jerusalem, the eye of the storm. Now, with this phrase at the beginning of Matthew 26, Matthew says, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, Matthew is bringing his gospel to its closing chapter now and its grand finale. And it is going to be a rough ride. A massive storm is brewing as a devilish trinity of religion and politics and culture all collide together. The sky is ominous. The winds are kicking up. Soon the rain will be coming down in torrents. And like a meteorologist, Jesus predicts that this storm is coming. And he says, you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Jesus is in a bad place, a very bad place, in Jerusalem, in the eye of the storm. Now, all of us, probably to a lesser extent than Jesus, of course, but all of us know what it feels like to be vulnerable and exposed when a storm hits. And I'm talking now about a life storm. Your teenager, or maybe your adult child, turns against you in the most hurtful ways. Or you get cut from the team and you feel this deep sense of rejection. Or you lose the love of your life and your heart is just broken. Your finances are tight and health isn't so good. Maybe the doctor has even used the C word with you, cancer, and you're afraid. But there's another kind of storm that is at the root of all of these storms, a storm that never goes away as long as we are here on this earth. It's just pouring down on us, constantly. The winds are howling all the days of our life. And this storm brings with it hell and high water, every kind of sorrow and difficulty and trial you can possibly imagine. A storm called sin. And as long as we're here, it never lets up. It never passes. It never stops. And it was just such a storm of sin that was brewing in Jerusalem. And we read that the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. And why? Why are they trying to kill Jesus? Well, remember, these Jewish leaders are people of great prominence. They are influential people, the movers and the shakers of their society. They hold important places in the synagogue and in the temple and in the lives of the people, positions of power and of respect. Until, that is, this Jesus came along. Well, he's attracting huge crowds. Like his enemy said on Palm Sunday, look, the whole world has gone after him. His words touched hearts and changed lives. His hands opened eyes. His mere presence brought about life that's full of grace and of truth. He was winning the hearts of the people, which of course means that their hearts were turning away from them, the Jewish leaders, and turning away in droves. They were losing their places of power and prominence. And getting rid of this Jesus is how they figured they would hold on to their places. And if you think about it, isn't that really what sin is? Sin is when I try to hold on to my place. Sin means that I'm going to hold on to my place as my own ruler, my own Lord, my own King, King of my own life, and I will not allow Christ to have that place. I will hold that place for myself. And it means that I'm going to make sure that everybody else is in their place as less important than me. And I'm going to hold on to my spot as number one. And because we all do this to Christ and to each other, it's like these colliding air masses. And eventually sin is going to bring with it all of this unstable air and tornadic winds and life-threatening lightning that is going to destroy our relationships with God and with each other. It's a storm brewing, folks. And how does our Lord respond to the storm? Did you hear it? He says, you know that after 2 days the Passover is coming and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Our Lord's response to the storm of sin in our lives is to walk directly, resolutely into the eye of that storm, into Jerusalem, and to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. He willingly places himself in the middle of this storm. And from the midst of that storm, can you hear him crying out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And today you will be with me in paradise. And it is finished. In the midst of the storm, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, as St. Paul says it. So, do you find yourself in a bad place? A little storm of your own? Well, Jesus put himself in a place far worse. Are you hurting? Well, Jesus knows your hurts. He hurt even more. Are you bleeding? He bled even more profusely. Are you crying? Well, Jesus wept all the more because of what this storm had done to His good creation and what it's done to our lives. Is your heart breaking? Well, Jesus' heart absolutely is broken for you. All of which is to say, friends, we're not alone in this storm. And so to the Father who is haunted by angry outbursts that He can't seem to control, to the husband and the wife who are barely talking to each other, to the 13-year-old who's being bullied at school and online and is thinking about suicide, to the frightened young woman who is contemplating an abortion because she doesn't know where else to turn, to those who are fearful of what the future may hold given your health or given the current circumstances in the world, to all of you who are exposed to this unrelenting storminess of life because of sin, Jesus says, I'm with you in your storm. Hold on to me. He knows more than anyone how to get through the storm and to get us through the storm. And isn't that the message of the Passover about which we read tonight in our Old Testament reading? God doing whatever it takes to get His people Israel safely through their storm. There is mighty Pharaoh with his whips and his bricks and his bag of tricks. And before them is the Red Sea, which seems to them like a total dead end, a watery grave, because behind them are the horses and the chariots of Israel, mighty armies with fearsome weapons. Talk about a storm. And yet, did not God get them through that storm, as He always does for His beloved? And isn't that also the message of Christ's Passover meal that we are about to celebrate here tonight? Here at His table, Jesus takes us out of that storm out there into this place, a place of refuge, a piece of peace in His presence, a place to lay down your burdens, a place to be forgiven, and a place to be renewed again, a place to be strengthened for the next go-around of storms out there, until at last there are no more go-arounds. And He stills all the storms and seats us one day at the table at His eternal kingdom. For those of you who find yourself in the eye of the storm, hold on. Jesus was once there too. Isaiah says He was familiar with suffering. And the book of Hebrews says, because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help you who are being tempted. And best of all, not only does He know about the storminess of our lives here, and not only does He know how to help us in our storms, but even better than that, at the cross, He defeated all the powers of sin that are arrayed against us to quiet these storms forever for you. He knows how to get you through. Trust Him. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.